on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show right here on Pulse 1. And as always, we'll be covering all things rugby league from across the globe. Now, tonight in the studio, we have a mad busy studio. We have the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Jerome Price, in the house, as always, once again. And alongside him, we have a man like me, understands all good things come in small packages. And that's Huddersfield Giants, Luke Robinson. And I tell you what, we're blessed. We're blessed tonight. He's back. He's back from hanging out with all his superstar, high priority, VIP mates. We have the one, the only, Rob Parker in the house.
Fuck by popular demand.
Give a quick shout out, everyone. Just make sure that you're here. Robbo, lean into Rob. Give him a lick on things. Just say a quick whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
All right.
Stop it for my voice, though.
Okay, on tonight's show, we'll be giving away a Bradford Bulls basic membership to one lucky listener. This will give you a massive host of benefits, including unparalleled access to all information for the Bradford Bulls. So if you want to be in to win, just answer this question. Name one of the two previous Super League clubs that tonight's studio guest, Luke Robinson, played for before he joined the Huddersfield Giants in 1998. So just email your answers to pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us at Pulse One Radio. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
1998, Robbo. 1998, old. You are very, very old, Robbo. 1998. That's how long ago you joined the Giants.
Yeah.
It's creeping up on you. How old are you now?
It's all the scars, isn't it?
I tell you what, uphill paper run, eh?
He's got a face like a sniper's elbow.
Face for radio, as they say. How's it going, boys?
I'm fantastic.
You know what? There was so much energy. Now we've gone live. Oh, yeah. That little red light's turned on in the studio. Everyone's gone.
I think what it is quiet. Is we're waiting for like order of appearance. We're kind of like, we don't all want to talk at once. We know Parker's always got a lot to say.
I have brought my own microphone with me.
So we should give him his own mic. We should really give him his own show, but there we go.
Well, there was discussions about that. Obviously, there was a bit of logheads going on here at the Pulse One station. So it was either, I made him an ultimatum. It's either the Rob Parker show or the Robbie Hunter Pole show. And I'm no longer here, so you do the math.
But you're always here, Rob. So tell us where you've been. What have you been getting up to?
Well, obviously, I'm the commercial manager at Bradford Bulls. And obviously, as the season's starting up now, there's loads of sales going on. It's quite similar.
Nah, forget about that rubbish,
mate. Mirrored.
Let's talk about what you're really getting up to. What are you doing tomorrow night?
I'm a lucky man tomorrow. I've got a couple of friends in decent places.
I got
an email on Monday morning. We were talking about some of the new films that are coming out this week. We were talking in the office, and then I got an email that landed on my desk from Tom Hardy's PA. I've known
Who?
Tom.
Say it again?
Tom Hardy. I've been mates with him for about a year or so, and his PA sent me an email on Monday morning to say, Tom would like you to go to the premiere of Revenant on Thursday at Leicester Square.
How cool is
that? So obviously, I had to go and ask the boss, man, being obviously my colleague here at the side of me, and I thought, Robbie, what do you think I should do? And you got to go. And I thought, good, because I was going anyway.
Didn't even need to ask me. Tom Hardy, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, actually just men in here, do you like his work? What do you reckon about that, Robbo?
Yeah, he's a bit of an oddball, isn't he? Is he not a bit? I know he's your mate. Sorry, I'm a bit...
to be fair, though, I am an oddball, so like attracts like.
I'm dissing your mate a little bit here, aren't I? But whenever I've seen him at premieres, he seems, you know, he's a little bit different, isn't he? He's a little bit out there, but I suppose that's what makes him A-list celebrities, you know.
I love him. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I think he's a quintessential new British actor. He's absolutely brilliant. He's just fun to watch.
I like him a lot of the old stuff. Originally, we're in something called The Take. You were on
Martina
Channel 4.
Martina Cole.
You were class in that. I think that's one of his early stuff, wasn't it? Something that I loved.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was absolutely brilliant.
I seem to have the outlook, whereas, like, because all the ladies talk about him so much, I kind of, like, just don't take no notice.
Do you mean he's taking a bit of shine off you?
Not me,
jealousy?
But, like, you're women.
Jealousy?
Like, oh, my God, he's beautiful. Oh, God, have you seen Tom Hardy?
So whenever you hear Tom Hardy, you just switch off straight away. Not only Tom Hardy's going to be, obviously, it's the premiere, so Leo DiCaprio will be there also.
Yeah, big dog.
I'm obviously going to start nicknaming him Cappers now. So there'll be me, Tom, and Cappers. So obviously, tune into my Twitter account on Friday.
I want to know something, though, Rob. Leo DiCaprio, Tom Hardy, you've got to choose a mate. You got, you know, let's say they both have you in a room. They said, "Mate, you got to choose a team.
Should
you're on Team Cope DiCaprio, or you're on
Should
Team
be an
Hardy."
Easy answer this.
I feel like
John, I want to know your answer.
I feel like I'm a parent. I'm a child, and parents have split up, and I've got to choose one. I go, "Mate, it's my boy Tom Hardy every day. He's a proper tough man."
I'll tell you what, if it is anything different, I'd give you some stick then.
Well, why?
You've got to show your loyalty, haven't you?
Just because he's British.
Nox is his mate. He's his friend.
Oh, okay.
When your friends are inviting you down to a movie premiere, you don't go, "I'd rather be friends with Leonardo DiCaprio." Gee whiz. What are you on about, man? I don't know. Is that how they do it in New Zealand? Whoa, my word.
Whoever's the biggest star. It's just, you know.
That's why we're tuning every beer.
No, hated. Well, we've got to bring up him again. Robert, what about yourself? DiCaprio or Tom Hardy? You're not either of their friends, but they want to be yours. You've got to choose one.
Oh, it looks pretty cool, dude, does Leo, doesn't he? But I'm with Leon. I'm very patriotic. I'm British.
So it's all about being British,
it's all
huh?
Of course, is, mate.
Blood thicker than water,
British,
eh?
English.
That's cool. That's cool. I understand your guys' rationale. Wonderful picture in the trade rags this week. One of your old mates, Leon, James Graham, pictured with his newborn baby.
Showing the softer side of him, is it?
Showing the softer side. I absolutely love that. I just want, you know, I'm curious. We're all fathers here.
I think I know what James Graham's baby's going to look like in about 14 years' time.
Get a photo of him. Get a photo of him online. Get a photo of him online now.
So we've always had some colourful stories. Leon, you've shared some colourful stories about James Graham. But I want to know about fatherhood. Everybody here in the studio is a father, at the mic anyway, all the players, former players. How has fatherhood changed your guys' outlook on life? You know, when you were playing, you didn't have the responsibility as opposed to having to get home, making sure you pick up the kids at the right time. Leon?
I'll just give you my latest story. When I play rugby, obviously we get abused by hundreds of thousands of fans or thousands and thousands of fans, and you're not bothered because it's you can take it. It's water off a duck's back. But recently I coached West Bowling under 12s, under 13s, and my son plays. And from the other sideline, there were a guy shouting out, "Get into him! He don't want it! He don't want it, him, that price! He don't want it!" Now, me being me and him being my son, the protective nature comes over. So anyway, it all kicked off, so I thought, I'm having it anyway. I flew over to the other sideline looking for this guy.
Parents want not to do on the
don't do it. I just couldn't help it. The protective nature of people having a go at my son, and I just thought to stand there and say, "Who are you talking about?" You know, because, you know, I'm used to the abuse being given to me, but not to my son and my 13-year-old boy, and being the protective father that we all are, probably brought out the most protective side of me, which wasn't the best side of me either, because I kind of lost my rag.
For so long you've been talking about how you've been able to keep your cool as well.
Yeah, well, I didn't keep my cool then. I didn't look very good on me, so lesson learned, Leon. Just try and keep calm if someone has a go at your son.
Just like with me and Robbie, obviously we've both got girls, but obviously you've got William, you know, and he's obviously playing rugby. How do you think it is, you know, because of what you've achieved in the game, what it's like for William and the expectations? Is that something you talk about with him?
Yeah, well, I've tried explaining it to him. It's a million times harder for him. As soon as he steps on field, even amateur, everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows his name, and he's already a target. But that's just a challenge that he'll have to overcome. And in time, it'll make it, you know, he's a very mature. He's got all dead on his shoulders. So hopefully with the right parenting and advice and, you know, if he's good enough,
so he's going to go to mum.
If he's good enough, he'll overcome it. Robbie's had to deal with it, haven't you, Rob? You've gone through
two
the same
girls,
thing.
Yeah, horrible.
No, but I mean, with your HP being the best player, and you've been trying to follow in his footsteps, isn't
living in his shadow, living up to it, standing on the box.
You know,
Robbo,
you know
what about yourself? Moving quickly along away from Henry. Parenthood.
As you can see, I'm still in Murrayfield gear. I haven't had time to have a shower after training. I had to pick one up, take him to gymnastics, or swimming. I've had to eat my meal as I come over here, so I've got stew all over me. I'm just an extremely tired man, mate.
Mate, I'm just thinking, how old are your kids?
They are 4, 3 and 11 months.
William's
13 and 9.
And Rob?
Dixie's 10 and Lola's 9.
Okay, social media. Leon, you put a brilliant picture on Facebook the other night of your entire family all looking, you know, all on the electronic devices, on the digital devices.
Is
anyone else's house look like this? I know I've lived through it.
My 11-month-old at the moment, he's constantly got a remote pointing at TV or putting something to his ear like it's a phone. So it's a little bit, it's quite sad, really, the sign of the times, isn't it?
Yeah, Rob.
No, definitely. It was a big conversation that we actually had at my household, actually, when to get mobile phones. But it's nice because obviously I work over in Yorkshire, and it's nice now to have that contact with them and be able to, you know, to hold the conversation. So it's knowing when to switch it off is the key.
Actually, and what's his name? Jamie, the cook, what's his name? Jamie Oliver. He was actually sharing on social media, there's an app where you can control all the devices in your house, the Wi-Fi. So you can control whether what time those Wi-Fi's on those devices turn off. Absolutely brilliant. That's the type of father that I like. All right, I've just got to do a quick shout out to Four Lions Level 3 Music Technology Class with their entry into the AMP Youth Music Awards at St. George's Hall in Bradford. They have a target to have to fundraise £500 to be able to take part in the finals at St. George's Hall, and they're looking for prizes to raffle off to help them reach this target. Now, if anyone out there wants to help them, can you please email there to Catherine Robertshaw at krobertshaw@shipley.ac.uk. That's krobertshaw@shipley.ac.uk. So good luck to all of you guys. Thank you, boys. After the break, we'll be back to talk to Robbo about Huddersfield and how they've been preparing. We've been listening to Leon talking about Hull FC, and we'll be looking at all the sports hot topics. So stay with us here on Pulse One.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter-Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Now, tonight we're giving away a Bradford Bulls basic membership to one lucky listener. All you have to do to win the superb prize is answer this question. Name one of the previous two Super League clubs that tonight's studio guest, Luke Robinson, played for before he joined the Huddersfield Giants in 2008. I know I said in the first part 1998, and I've just added 10 years onto his life. So just email your answers to www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us at Pulse One Sport. So, Robbo, let's talk Huddersfield. Actually, we're just talking off camera about one of the times you got sparked out against St. Helens when we're talking about James Graham. And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it kind of brought back a few memories. Well, obviously, James Graham having a child, it was quite apt, really. We played against him on Sky at St. Helens, and basically I clashed heads really bad with James Graham. And my wife had just given birth 3 days before, I think it was. And anyway, I had a really bad tonic reaction. They shouldn't have left me on, basically, but they left me on. And I just basically did rough his head in for the rest of the game. So I was asking him over and over, every scrum, every tap. He would call in players now saying, listen, have I had a kid? He's going, yeah, you have. Like, giving me a bit, telling me to get away. Like, and I went, I don't feel old enough to have had a kid. And then anyway, basic game had been, I thought game had been cancelled. We're walking at sheds. And I said, oh, why is the game being...
After the game.
After the game. He said, why is the game being cancelled? Someone said, we've played. And I said, have we? And it was only then when I got home, got on coach, got home, and my wife were there with my first son, Leo, that it all like dawned, came back to me that actually, I have got a kid.
Robbo, do you know when you were asking me if I were playing that game? I was playing that game. I passed the ball to Jammer.
Was you?
I may have passed the ball to Jammer. I said, get it, Robbo. Get at him.
Cheers, Leo.
I remember that was a horrendous knockout. And I just remember sitting at home thinking, he needs to come off the field because you were knocked.
He was their go-to, you know, he's the go-to forward, isn't he? So I just, obviously, being a midgy, I just thought, I'm going to go and take him out, I'm going to wipe him out, and as usual, I'll wipe myself out.
Well, I think we should point out here as well, Robbie, how far the game's come now, that if any head injury like that happens, you have to medically go off the field straight away for an assessment.
Sure.
And nearly 9 times out of 10, you're not allowed back on the field, are you, anymore?
Oh, pretty much so, yeah. That's 100%. A lot of the time now, especially with the games on camera, it'll even also be added from the sideline as well. No, he's not coming back on. Because I think you have to be assessed by an independent assessor.
Yeah, they do a questionnaire. I've done a few of them. I know the questions off by
heart. You've got to be working on your tackle technique, Robbo. Yeah. Keep leading with your head.
The head's the biggest part of my body, mate.
That's what I use. And the hardest.
Yeah. But no, it has moved on. I mean, the amount of times I've been left on and... You know, like, obviously, it's a natural reaction as a rugby player. You never show weakness, so it's, I'm okay. Yeah. Obviously, you're not okay. I mean, I've once gone home after a game, I've ordered a taxi, say, 3 hours later, and I had to ring taxi, I said, I have to ring you back. I could not remember where I lived. It would delay concussion, you know, when you, scary
it's
stuff.
Dangerous.
So the way the game has moved on, it's thankfully they have moved on.
You know, the funny thing about it, though, and we've all been knocked out, everyone that's played the game, in the studio at least, it doesn't hurt. You go to a happy place, don't you?
Yeah, I get deja vu. It all slows down for me.
I had a dream you were going to say that.
I've had some bad ones over the years, but very similar fashion. I remember I got knocked out in the opening 5 minutes in a test, and I didn't really come around until sort of about the 60th minute, and I demanded to get back on the field because I've flown all the way down under, and to play 5 minutes of a game, I just thought, it's not worth it.
Yeah, but your life is, isn't it? Your life's worth it.
It is now. It's changed, though. The concept's changed. Back in our days, or my days, You didn't come off.
Yeah. No, you taught from a very young age. Obviously, I'm the last of that generation, really. You don't show weakness. You stay on the field. You know, if you're defending, you keep defending whether you're knocked out or not. But I think that's the difference with having children as well. You know, you do start, your perspective on life changes a little bit. I'd stay on that field no matter what, whereas when you do have kids, it does make it think, you know, there is life after rugby as well.
Because you know you get home, the missus will give you a crack around the head as well.
I think one of the most interesting ones was when Paul Deakin played, I think it was about 2004, 2005, and he played in a Great Britain test against New Zealand. Nigel Vanganar. Obviously, Robbie will pronounce that. Nigel
Vanganar.
Snapped his palate.
He snapped his palate in his face, and he actually had no structure in his face and had internal bleeding. And if it wasn't for Chris Brooks, who's actually the head trauma doctor at A&E in Hope Hospital in Manchester, because he deals with that kind of things, he actually saved his life. And that kind of, you know, we always
they
put our bodies on the line.
Put a balloon up his nose,
they put a
didn't
catheter
they?
Up his nose and then down into his throat, and then blew a balloon up and actually blow it up to give him some structure inside his face to stop the internal bleeding. And
sorry
since
if you're eating
like that,
tea at home, ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry.
And ever since things like that, and especially when you have children and you go through similar injuries or facial injuries, it just, you know, it is a game and it's surrounded by tough men, but there's a duty of care now. And I think as we do get older and our kids now start to get older, and, you know, with Leon's little lad Billy starting playing, that you're very kind of protective and you want to wrap them in cotton wool, but it is what it is.
I think we should think lucky as well that someone like Chris Brooks was working on that day, because somebody less qualified might not have been able to save
and
the
someone
experience.
who would have been a good doctor still wouldn't have been able to do it. It's just given the nature of what an amazing doctor he is, you know, he saved Paul Deakin's life
and a brilliant bloke. Robbo, let's talk Huddersfield. How have things been going over at the land of the Giants?
As you can imagine, it's quite turbulent at first. Obviously, there's been a lot of goings on at the club that away from the field, which unfortunately has sort of spilled onto the rugby side of things. We've lost, you know, we end up losing two decent players. We've lost Brett Ferris, and then we've also lost QB for the first six, seven weeks of the year. So we've took a little bit of a dint, but you know, we've got a decent squad. And apart from that, you know, there's a good atmosphere. There's a good bunch of blokes, good camaraderie, and we've been training really hard. Obviously, it has probably, we're probably one or two, Bruffy said it yesterday in the media, we're probably one or two short now, you know, going into the season, but but we're still confident in the squad we've got, and we weren't far away last year. They're just little bits we need to improve.
Well, in the trades this week, it was saying that Huddersfield are throwing the net wide to see if you can pick up some talent to fill in that gap. Any rumours?
No, there's not many rumours.
I'm available if needed.
No, I think we're the last to know. I think, I'll be honest, I think they're looking everywhere for every, you know, it's a really difficult time to sign people now. You know, people have spent the salary cap. People have, you know, already made the signing. So what's available is very limited. And, you know, we're trying to replace Brett Ferris, which is very, very difficult. You know, he's obviously one of our best players, probably one of the best players in the international scene at the end of last year. So he's going to be an hard, you know, hard boots to fill, but they're actively looking at the moment.
I think a plus side for you, Huddersfield, Robbo, is also the emergence of Wardle. I think where he's come from in the past couple of years to how he's playing now, I mean, he can't be far off in national standard.
Mate, I'd be picking him. He's not. I suppose he's not that. You know, he doesn't have that sort of footwork that Watkins and them have. But as a player, you know how good he is to play. How hard it is to
play
against
him. For me, he was one of the form players at the back end of the season, and he shouldn't have been far off the England team. Yeah.
His classmate, he eats hard, he runs hard.
We're losing Brett. You're going to get your gain and another star there that maybe even come further to the front next year.
Yeah, and we've got his brother as well. We've managed to snare his younger brother, who's very much like Joe, but a little bit bigger. So they're hoping the next couple of years he's going to, you know, fill that void. But, you know, if Joe then does move to back row, I think Joe would preferably be in the back row. Yep. But then obviously if you put him there, we have to find a centre. So whatever you do, whatever you move the squad around, somebody's going to have to move and probably play somewhere they weren't supposed to.
Now on the weekend you had a game cancelled against your hometown club, Halifax. Last year you could argue that you went into the season undercooked, had a bit of a slow start to the season. You've got a game coming up this weekend though?
Yeah, and we've also, I think they've put another fixture in the friendlies. We play against Catalan Dragons as well. So
fantastic.
Yeah, they're not a bad Ross. Unfortunately, we don't go over there. They come to us. So, but we've got two decent games. I've got OKR on Sunday. We've got Catalans, which puts us in better stead than it did last year, because like I say, last year we were undercooked, and I think it showed them first few games.
First game when we're Spanish.
Yeah, we got smashed a full.
As Leon keeps telling everyone. All right, thanks, mate. Sarah Brown, we'll be back soon. We'll continue to discuss all things hot in rugby league, all that and more coming up after the break.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hello, everybody. RHP here, and I'm live with Hull FC's the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, Huddersfield Giants, Luke Robinson, and the superstar VIP, that is Rob Parker. We're back in the studio once again. We're talking nothing but rugby league for, well, let's say the next half an hour till 7 o'clock. Now, tonight we're giving away a Bradford Bulls basic membership to one of you tonight. All you have to do to win this, answer this question: name one of the previous two Super League clubs that tonight's studio guest Luke Robinson played for before he joined Huddersfield in 2008. Just email your answers to pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us at pulse1sport. Leon,
yo,
you've been busy recently.
Have I?
What have you been getting up to, mate?
No, I don't know. What have I been getting up to, Robin?
Oh, no, you tell us.
Turn his answer a bit of business now, isn't it?
You're not only a professional sportsman, but you do a little bit of training, sales, businessman. You like put those long fingers of yours into many pieces of pie.
Let me just come in there. You've just asked Leon a question. He's like, oh, no, no, I don't know what you mean. Offer. He's just been mithering. Robbie, make sure you give me new business a plug. Make sure you give me some plugs.
Parker, no one wants to be quiet and no one's to talk up.
And as soon as he's put on the spot, he went, no, nothing.
Parker, I don't know what you mean.
What is your latest venture? What is your latest venture?
Well, listen, Robert, after all the conversations that you give me about planning for life after rugby, you know, you're probably my
You've been listening.
You're my biggest advisor on that subject.
You're in trouble.
The sensei. I've bought into a company. We're doing fashion, doing apparel. There's Freak of Nature Apparel and we're doing gym clothes, hoodies, vests, shorts, tracksuits.
Okay, so let's get down to it.
What can I
get for free?
You can have anything. You're my brother. You know
that. Do you do a kids' range?
Me and Robert, we're good. Kids' range.
Yeah, but we're running a discount in January. 30% discount if you put in a code. The Price is Right. So get onto the website.
The Price
called,
is Right. You gotta love that. Ewan's
gonna put a link to it now on the website. So get on there and have a look, and hopefully this can be start of a very prosperous.
At any point during the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, are we going to actually talk about rugby tonight?
We've talked a little bit.
about kids, businesses, a bit of concussion. That's it.
Bit of fun. It's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's but anyway. It could be more than fun. It's a life after rugby, isn't it?
Well, that's why, and I'm not getting any younger, Rob. So I took the plunge this week, and me and my partner Matthew Whitaker were going to try and take it to the next level.
Take a former professional rugby league player as well. Played for Huddersfield,
Castleford,
Widnes,
Castleford. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. It's his brand, and I've bought into the company. We've gone partners, and we're going to see where we can take it.
I know we've had a bit of a nice little pun and a plug and stuff there, but is that something now that you are really starting to prepare for life after rugby? And probably the same for you, Rob. Something that's on your agenda?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah. Obviously, I'm doing it. Obviously, doing a sales course as well with Robbie every Tuesday. Tuesday night, we do that for 3-4 hours. Big Earl does it. A few other old players, Yestin Harris, and it's things that now we're starting to look for. So, Rob Park, I'll be coming for your job in about 12 months' time.
You can have it. I'm Tom Hardy's PA from now on.
No problem.
Leo DiCaprio, he's selling out. What about you, Robbo? Life after rugby?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, really. And I've always felt like Peter Pan. You know, I didn't think I was going to grow up. It's
radio DJ at the Pulse.
Yeah, maybe. It's something that, you know, my mates at 16 had to consider, really. You know, where do they want to go, what path? Whereas I know I want to be a rugby player, you know, fingers crossed I was gonna. Then it's strange, really, being 31 having to think about where you are. Luckily, I went to university, you know, I got a degree behind me. I think I'd like to stay within rugby league. You know, I think I've got a lot of experience. I've had a lot of good coaches, bad coaches.
Do you think you'd like to stay in rugby league on the performance side or in the administration side?
My head would say the administration side, but I think my heart's saying I'd like to have a crack at coaching. I think I'd be a very good coach. But obviously,
what do you think? Like, there's many, many brains, a lot of experience, rugby league experience in here. What do you think makes a good coach?
I think remembering that you're a coach, remember how it felt when you was a player. Don't change all the things that you didn't like when you were a player and then start putting them onto your players when you become a coach. I think the number one biggest thing as a coach, what I learn off a coach is man management, is knowing how to handle different people. We're not robots. Don't treat everybody the same. What works for Robbo doesn't work for me. What motivates me won't motivate Robbo. Somebody might need a little bit of slack. Somebody might need a kick up the bum, but we're not all the same. Somebody might need a day off to go and see the family. They might have a bereavement. Cater for everybody. Manage. And that, you know, on that, and that's my biggest advice I'd give.
Yeah, there's many different facets. I think, you know, I've had coaches in the past that have been really, you know, a great rugby mind. They've been really good with regarding the skills aspect of things. But then, you know, when it comes to organising things and getting stuff sorted and organising your schedule being rubbish, and then vice versa, I've had blokes that have probably been great managers, but actually, you know, Sean McRae at Salford, you're a great manager, you'd know nothing about rugby league.
Say it how it is. Just the way we like it.
You know, I've had loads of great coaches and loads of bad ones, but I think if you just took a little bit, I think there's, like I said, there's loads of different facets, and it's like I might agree with Leon, you know, it's not just every rugby player is not the same.
No, you're right. Rob Parker, this is why did you choose to go into sports administration as opposed to following the performance line?
It was an opportunity that just got presented to me nearly 3 years ago now. Obviously, I was playing part-time at Lee, and the job that I was in, I was actually working on the railways, and I knew that there was a job that came about for the business development manager. I pretty much put a CV together, got my wife to do it, and went to see them with a job application. From there, I got the job, and I learned so much by just going out there and being honest. I think I'm a rugby player selling rugby, and I think the key aspects that we have as rugby people and to be professional, there's so much hard work, there's so much dedication, a desire and a will to win, and a way to actually understand information. Because as rugby players, we get told what we've done wrong in each game. And I think to be able to be criticised and take that criticism and turn it round, you can teach someone the selling techniques, you can teach someone all the other aspects of filling in a spreadsheet and all the other things like that. What you can't teach people is the skills that we have and what we grew up as players from 9-year-old and what's made us professionals as we are today.
Confidence.
Yeah, confidence and just, you know, we're rugby people and we're confident and we've always got an anecdote and a story. The biggest thing in sales, and I do hate saying it, but people buy people. If you're a good person, they're not bothered about what you're actually selling because they just want to deal with good people, and that's the biggest advice I've found so far in business.
Well, here. Now, we were talking off air before we came on the show just about the pre-seasons and how long days. Well, just looking at Salford's new signing, Daniel Vidot, he's out injured and he'll miss half a season. Now, is it me or are we now starting to see more injuries during that pre-season element? Obviously, that's a massive blow for Salford's preparations because he was one of their big signings. But is it me? Are we spending more time on the field? You know, are you guys in your twilight years of your career, do you need to be spending that amount of time on the field, especially when you're doing the little skills that, you know, the muscle memory skills that you've got embedded into you?
I think there's a bit of an anxiety come with this new setup of the Super League. Everyone needs a good start. Everyone needs to get in that, or you haven't got a chance of being that top eight. And I think with that, they try to push each player as far as they can so they start the year great. But obviously with that, it's a fine balancing act being a conditioner. You need to be able to push them to the limits without, and not a little bit to, you know, when to relax so that they don't get injured.
Well, that's the point that I'm trying to make. It just seemed that there's been a lot of big injuries that have happened during the preseason this year.
I see it two ways. You get clubs that will do a formula. So, i.e., say like Wigan. Wigan's formula under the old coach was very brutal.
Michael Maguire.
It was wrestling. It was hard out with long days. And in the end, they ended up winning a couple of trophies. So then you might get a couple of other coaches that copy that trend to see if it works for their team because it sounds tough and it's hard and we're going to push our team harder. But then I think you've got your other one. You've maybe got like your Tony Smiths. Your people have been around for like 10, 15 years that trust their coaching. They trust. They know if I give you, listen, you're training rubbish, go home. I can send you home because I know I believe in my coaching. When it comes down to it, I'll get the formula right. But you've got the other end of the scale. You've got the younger coaches who they need to make sure in their own brain that they do everything possible right so that if things go wrong, they know they've ticked all the boxes.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe as well, Leon, not just because of the way the league's formatted now and even with the young coaches, they're trying to prove themselves, but there's a lot to lose, isn't there, now in Super
Absolutely,
League?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, the chance of relegation now, and as a result, do you think that now there's so much pressure on the players from the coaches and from the board as well onto the coaches?
It's 100% what you say. It's the pressure that changes people. You know, everybody knows what to do and what works and what's right and doing too much, but add the pressure of maybe not ever getting a job again in Super League, because there's not many jobs, is there, out there, really, once you lose a job. Brian Noble's been looking for a job for the last 3-4 years. Carl Harrison's not been in a job. You know, Phil Vivas. People can't get in jobs when they lose them very easily.
Not in
the big jobs. So when you've got these jobs, you've got to do everything you can to keep hold of it, and that, in the result, means that the days are very, very long.
And now, because of that, maybe a lack of duty of care to the player, because you need your troops out there winning those games.
Maybe that's why we're picking up the injuries. Now, Leon, you spoke quite a few times this year, last year, in 2015, about feeling the pressure. Robert, was that the same at the top of the table? Were you guys feeling that a different type of pressure for last year's new era?
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, with it came, you had to be in that top eight. You have to be going good. If you don't get the points accumulated in time, you're not even going to be that top four. So they did feel like the more pressure. Yeah, every game, I know every minute mattered, but it did feel a little bit more like that, you know. And there was times when, you know, players were injured, and in days gone by, you just say, look, we'll give you a rest this week because we're still in the playoffs. Come back fit when we need you. Whereas now it's, no, we need you to play because we need to get in the top four. If we're not in the top four, we can't win it. So there was definitely more pressure going with it.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, coming up after the break, we'll continue to talk hot topics as well as chat about the impact of Sam Burgess moving back to the NRL. So stay with us here on Pulse One.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show. We're continuing on with all the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league. But before we do, let's find out who won the Bradford Bulls basic membership. You had to answer this question. Name one of the previous two Super League clubs that tonight's studio guest, Luke Robinson, played for before he joined Huddersfield in 2008. Robbo, can you just tell us who you played for? Which were the two clubs?
Yeah, that would be Salford and Wigan.
Salford and Wigan, and we have actually, I didn't mention it before, but we've got Jakey the Muss across social media tonight, so he's back in the studio again. Jakey, you picked a winner for us?
Yeah, tonight's winner is Danny Long.
Danny Long, congratulations. Give him a round of applause, boys and girls. We'll get to you over the course of the next hour, Danny, let you know how you can pick up your Basic Bulls membership, so congratulations. All right, boys, big slamming Sam Burgess is back in the world of rugby league, but it's not been all rosy. Now, the reason I say that is to make space on their salary cap, South Sydney have had to let go of some tremendous talent. Now, let me just name these guys. Former Australian internationals, Glenn Stewart, who's gone to Catalans, and Dylan Walker. Dylan Walker is still a player, sort of poised for the New Zealand Aussie team.
He's what I'd call a freak of nature.
A freak.
I want him in my gear. He's a sick player, man. He's a wicked player.
He
so.
Is awesome.
So it's a big to let go, man.
But not only that, they had to let go of State of Origin player Chris McQueen and Stuart Tim Grant. All four of these guys. Four players, one star, but the actual fact, they're actually four stars for a superstar. Give me your thoughts on that.
Are they all looking at it from a viewpoint of not only the playing side, but also the marketing side? Is it a money spinner? Will Burgess make them that much money or what? Because I don't know. He's an exceptional player, and he's a player that he's a leader, and you want him in your side. But when you're losing that much quality, surely it's going to unsettle the team and you know, your chances of winning something are going to be lessened.
I mean, I think one of the points that you make there is that they're not just losing talented players coming to the back end of their career, which is what we've seen. I remember the Bradford Bulls let go of Paul Newlove, and in return we got Sonny Nicol, Bernard Dwyer, and Paul Lachlan. Now, those guys, all three of them were coming, they were great players, but they're coming to the back end of their careers. So St. Helens looked at it, well, there's not a lot more investment in those three players. So I get that. But these guys, they're not old. Old and they're great.
I also think the fact that Sam Burgess has such a historic time at the club, it's not like he's coming, he's not going to ruffle any feathers. He is coming back to his old stomping ground. And it's a bit of a swan song, isn't it? You know, it's nice to kind of, well, romantic. And to be fair, probably Russell Crowe's looking up thinking, I can make another movie about this. Well,
let's not forget either. I mean, I speak to quite a lot of people over at Hull End who have had a bit. Lee Smith's really good friends with the Burgesses, and he flew and trained out with South Sydney Rabbitohs at the end of last year. And he says, out there, you cannot walk 5 steps without being stopped. And everybody always asks about Sam. He is the big dog of the NRL. He's the number one marketing, just the big man. You know,
so
the David
the point
Beckham.
That
the David
Robbo
Beckham
was making. Yeah, it probably it's a business decision as well,
well
as a playing
as well
decision.
As.
I think he's obviously he's an exceptional player and he's a leader on the field, but I think it's a business thing. I mean, in 2008 when I were on tour with Sam, it would have probably that was just the start of him. But all I remember is we went for a coffee. And there were loads of cameras following us. And I'm like, oh, what's that? Are you doing something with it? He went, no, no, they just follow me. And I was like, waving at him.
Imagine
like a
living your life in a goldfish bowl, oh, I guess.
Also as well, Robbie, you got to remember what happened with Dylan Walker at the end of the season. I think he had a bad deal with the prescription drugs for the painkillers.
Yep.
He went to hospital, had a real big deal with that. So you don't.
He ended up in the lockup as well, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, you don't know if there's any history with discipline that Madge McGuire was a disciplinarian. Just mm-hmm. thought, listen, mm-hmm. I've had enough. You go, okay, get some Sam Burgess in. There you go.
And also, I think it's now that we're starting to look and commercialise things like football, and maybe Sam Burgess, or not just Sam Burgess, but the Burgess brothers and the Burgess name is now a brand, isn't
it's a
brand.
It's a massive brand.
It is now, for my dealings in the commercial world, and you know, back in the day, Paul was a brand.
Imagine if you were
Hunter
selling
Paul's
net.
Not a brand, but Paul was a brand. But do you know
haters,
what I mean? You were part
haters.
Of that where you commercialised it, and I think it's such good, they're paving the way. I mean, Australian Rugby League has always paved the way and been innovative in how it kind of, you know, evolves. But I think now with the, you know, the Burgess brothers as a brand, I think it's just great for our sport.
Take into account also in 2015, Souths had a terrible year by comparison to the season before. Rob, if you had the Burgess brand to
I can retire right now
in your repertoire of toolkit to sell, what would you do?
There's nothing you can't do, is there? And I think that's the bit now there's possibilities have just become easy to use. And for me now, obviously, in the role that I do, the players are the biggest, you know, kind of, they're the best salesmen. They're the best salesmen. If your players go out and just so happens they're a little bit like me, not only are they great at rugby, but they're good looking as well. But, you know, they're the full package.
They can communicate well.
And they can communicate well. Rob, the only thing is they've got 10 fingers, I've got 9.5.
I know that my wife will be at home laughing because you're on the show. She finds you really, really, really funny.
Well,
and not just funny looking at.
You know, you have been doing the radio show last 6 months and I've not. Just a little FYI.
So on Superstars then, Jared Hayne, the Hayne train has come to a stop. 49ers season's over now. Do you think that's worked?
I don't know. I mean, he's obviously new to the game, isn't he? You know, I don't know if it's something, he's doing a totally different game, whether he can just go slot straight in. I think for his first season, it looked pretty well from what I saw.
I believe it has worked in the same way that when Adrian Morley went over to the NRL, he paved the way, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And then Burgesses have come in and everyone else now is doing it. I think what's like the biggest thing that's got recognised for me is the athleticism and how great our sport is from rugby league. So if it's Australian or English, or if you're a rugby league player, you're now considered an athlete, and the way you see these lads and how dedicated they are now. I think in 3 or 4 years' time, there'll be a couple of rugby league players that will convert over to the NFL.
I think it shows you two things. It's brilliant at what he's done. I really appreciate it. I've got a lot of admiration for what he did. I think it's gutsy what he did. But at the same time, we all thought they kind of made it at one stage.
Mm-hmm.
But then we forgot they were friendlies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the big games came around, that's when the big dogs came to the table. And you got to remember the difference between playing in friendlies and playing in the first grade matches.
You know, I think it was
and
a bit disappointing.
A lot of people forget that. You got to remember when we play in friendlies, it's not the same as when we're playing a proper competitive match.
Oh, I agree.
It was also
a lot of people forgot that.
It was also like how Dwayne Chambers came to Castleford and played a couple of friendlies. When it got to the real stuff, he was nowhere to be seen. Yeah. So as a marketing toy or a tool, that really worked. But then, well, it's just too hard, isn't it, this game now?
I mean, I like what I saw of him. To be able to make that transfer in one season, in one pre-season, I think that says a lot.
Oh, it's
I
massive.
Think it says
no,
a lot.
I don't think it'll be the finished article in the game. I think, you know, if you give him sort of 2 or 3 seasons and then see where
do you think
at.
He's got the time on his side,
well,
though?
That's the problem. Obviously, he's gone over there late, and you know, if he were 22, 23, it'd be a different story.
Especially when he's being offered $1.2 million a year, $1.8 million a year, whatever. It's a big contract to turn down at 28, 29.
Now, if he was back to the NRL, do you think that he would be a bigger star, bigger draw than Sam Bergenot?
It's got to be up there, hasn't it?
Yeah, he'd be definitely up there.
Remember, he left the game. When he left the game, he left the game as probably one of the, if not the top three players on the planet.
The whole of Australia was talking about him, Robin. The whole of Australia, the whole of the world
were talking.
People
that didn't even support
rugby
league were
talking about him. So, for me, it's got to be a massive draw.
I'd like to see what he comes back. You know, a lot of times when people leave our game, you know, Yeston Harris of the world and everyone else, they don't come back the same play when they want to a different game. I know that's generally rugby union, but I'd like to see what he comes back from the NFL, you know. Whether
Do you think he will come back? Do you think he will come back?
I don't know. Do you know?
I mean, he's obviously going to have earned enough financial reward over the years to potentially retire, but for people like that, it's not about money anymore, is it? It's about success. And if he's wanting to go and try his hand, he just wants to be the best he can be. If he's the best NFL player, the best rugby league player, and if he's going to go back, he's going to be the best he wants to be, because that's what make those top, top, top end people who they are and so unique, that desire and will to be the best.
I guess a part of it is also getting the opportunity to become those sort of global icons, which is, we're looking at a couple of our guys that have been biggest in our sport over here. What's it going to take then? What does it take for recognition for players in the UK to start to drive that profile? It's one of the things uncovered with Sports Personality of the Year Award. You know, it was a bit of a shock that Kevin Sinfield first was you know, was in the shortlist and then came second. So your thoughts on that quickly?
I just think what Kevin Sinfield done is amazing for our game, and I think we can only build on that now by promoting, you know, the future stars and the future people that are going to carry this you know, flag forward into the future. But if only we had 2 hours to talk on this show now, Robbie.
More investment from the governing body?
I think mine's the international scene. I just think the more global we can make that, the international scene, Australia really buying into, not just picking and choosing, but actually making it a real sort of a great competition. Is if we're the more level playing field we can get that going on, the better it'd be for everyone.
Quickly, Leon.
I agree.
that is very quick. Okay, my thanks to Luke Robinson, Leon Price and Rob Parker, the VIP Rob Parker. Big thanks to you all for listening wherever you are tonight. Total Access is next here on Pulse One, so enjoy your lives, love your families and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One, Wednesday evening from 6:00.